Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up at the trial in South Africa of Oscar Pistorius, the prosecution delivers its closing arguments.
Even in the event of the court accepting the accused evidence that he thought there was an intruder in the toilet, he cannot escape a conviction of murder.
And an upbeat assessment of the Africa-US summit from this Kenyan analyst and commentator.
The fact that there is a rapprochement, there is an attempt by the US to actually reach out to Africa, I think that is welcome.
And in the latest episode of our radio drama, The Crossroads Generation, a military coup triggers an abrupt decline in family fortunes and a personal relationship turns turbulent.
Top story.
In South Africa, the murder trial of Oscar Pistorius entered its dramatic finale on Thursday, with the prosecution delivering their closing arguments and the defence beginning their final bid to prove the defendant's innocence. In a moment, we'll be hearing from our correspondent who was in court. But first, as this is a complex case, a brief reminder of the key players in these tense legal proceedings. This fact box by Peter Hiller has been adapted by Emily Sherwin and Viresh Jansari.
The defendant is Oscar Pistorius. During the 2012 Summer Olympics in London, Pistorius became the world's first athlete with double leg amputation to compete with able-bodied runners. He was idolized by South Africans, at least until the night of February the 14th, 2013. Through a closed bathroom door, Pistorius fired four shots at his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. During his trial, Pistorius told the court he thought she was a burglar.
The judge, Thokozile Masipa, has been praised for conducting the trial in a fair and calm manner. In 39 days, she has heard 37 witnesses. Judge Masipa will make the ruling alone on whether Pistorius acted deliberately or by mistake. Her verdict is expected by the end of August. But first, the defense and the prosecution will summarize their final versions of the sequence of events.
On August 7th and 8th, Pistorius's defense advocate Barry Rue and the state prosecutor Jerry Nell are set to deliver the closing verdicts. Nell has become known for his relentless and combative style of cross-examination. He called Pistorius's apology to the victim's mother a public spectacle. Nell tried to convince the court that Pistorius and Steenkamp had a heated argument before the shooting. He said Pistorius intentionally shot his girlfriend in the aftermath.
Barry Rue is regarded to be one of South Africa's best defense lawyers. The lawyer maintains that a series of unfortunate factors led to Steenkamp's death. She walked into the bathroom just as Pistorius was carrying in a fan from the balcony, he says. There was no way for him to know that his girlfriend was behind the bathroom door. He acted out of fear of a burglar. As a result of his difficult childhood and his disability, Pistorius was always particularly worried about his safety, Rue has said.
The neighbors living close to Pistorius could ultimately play a decisive role in the case. Did they hear a woman's cries on the night of the killing? Did they even hear a fight? Some have already said yes in court. If Judge Masipa believes them, it's likely she will rule that Pistorius is guilty, because then the sprinting star would have had a motive for the act.
Emily Sherwin and Viresh Jansari. Next we go to Pretoria and join our correspondent Tuzo Kamalo, who was in court for Thursday's proceedings.
At what has been one of the most closely watched trials in South African history, the prosecution had sought to portray Oscar Pistorius as a man who does not take responsibility for his actions and who tries to portray himself as a victim. In court on Thursday, State Prosecutor Gerinel argued that Pistorius had contradicted himself over why he fired the shots that killed his girlfriend, first saying it was unintentional, then saying he thought someone was about to come out of the bathroom door. Nell argued that Reeva Steenkamp locked herself in the toilet after an argument, and Pistorius intentionally shot her and should be charged for murder.
If the court rejects the accused version of events and the court relies on the objective, the common cause fact, and the circumstantial evidence, a conviction on murder with dolus directus is inevitable. Even in the event of the court accepting the accused evidence that he thought there was an intruder in the toilet, he cannot escape a conviction of murder with dolus directus.
Mel went on to say that if the court were to find that Pistorius did not intend to kill River, he should be at least charged for capable homicide.
So, my lady, our argument is that the accused should be convicted on all the counts.
The defense then attempted to pick holes in the state's closing arguments. Defense lawyer Barry Roo argued that the state ignored material evidence and contradicted itself in order to portray its circumstantial evidence as true.
In trying to understand the state's case, it's self-destructive.
Roo also told the court that the defense had difficulties in verifying some of the evidence given, as police investigators had contaminated the scene by removing a number of objects from their original position. He said an electric cord was missing and a fan was removed from the doorway.
We're not saying conspiracy. We say the scene was disturbed. And what you cannot do, my lady, is then make the accused a liar because of the disturbance of the scene by the police.
Roo went on to argue that if, as the state claims, the accused and the deceased had an argument while eating downstairs, which prompted River Steenkamp to run and lock herself in the toilet, the state had not been able to explain how the bedroom scene shows that there were people sleeping there. While Nell argued that witnesses heard a female voice screaming, Roo rejected that assertion, saying River could not have the time to scream, considering the speed with which the four shots hit her. Pistorius himself appeared calm as he listened to the prosecution present its case. The defense is expected to finish presenting its closing arguments on Friday.
Tuzo Kamalo reporting.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
African nations are mulling over the outcome of the Africa-US summit in Washington, attended by leaders and officials representing 50 nations. US President Barack Obama announced $33 billion in new investments and loans. But what were the expectations of African nations going into this summit? And to what extent were they fulfilled? I put that question to Kenyan political analyst and commentator Martin Olu.
I think that for Kenya and for some of the East African regions, there were a number of hesitations. For instance, the issues of anti-gay law, the issues of governance and human rights. And most of the African leaders who went to this were waiting to be given a lecture so that they could rise. But the fact that these issues did not come up, the fact that there is a rapprochement, there is an attempt by the U.S. to actually reach out to Africa, I think that was welcome. The fact that they are bringing out their hand to embrace Africa and promising goodies that would go a long way in generating employment, generating income opportunities for people, I think that's what's welcome. What is critical, of course, is that there is need for partnerships rather than all these donor aid and all these development aid that does not necessarily recognize partnerships.
Who stands to benefit the most from the billions of dollars pledged for investment in Africa?
To me, it's who stands to lose. It's the ordinary African person looking out for good governance, looking out for respect for human rights. They are going to lose that at the altar of development, at the altar of trade and business. So we are not going to see the record on governance and human rights improve, but rather we're going to see the competition between business persons saying that issues of human rights, issues of governance can wait. If China is in there, so should USA be there, regardless of what governance and other issues are.
The United States has pledged $110 million a year to help six African nations, including three from East Africa, train rapid response forces. Kenya, however, your country, was not among them. Why was that?
Definitely there has been issues around governance and perhaps around issues of the ICC between Kenya and the USA. There are, of course, other positive things that have happened around Uganda and Rwanda over time. And in terms of their being able to take sides and being able to deploy forces, I think we've seen Rwanda and Uganda readily do that, particularly in conflict areas such as South Sudan.
Was it a mistake to invite more or less the whole of Africa to Washington all at once?
I think it is a big scoop on the part of the U.S. Remember that Africa has been organizing as a group to oppose the ICC process. They have been organizing to thump their chests around issues of sovereignty and so on. So to get them as a group was important. Otherwise, getting them in various portions could not have given them the kind of results that this summit has given it.
Kenyan political analyst and commentator Martin Olo. In Liberia, President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf declared a state of emergency on Thursday in an attempt to rein in the Ebola outbreak that is spreading across West Africa. The death toll across the region has now risen above 900. In the countries hit hardest, Guinea and Sierra Leone, as well as Liberia, the disease is disrupting everyday life, with borders closed and air travel suspended. There are adverse economic consequences to be feared, as well as the mounting cost in human misery. Here's Crispin Mwakideo with a report by Philip Santner.
Cesar Morris has set up containers of chlorine by the door of his internet cafe in Monrovia, the capital of Liberia. That way, people can disinfect their feet and hands before they come in. Since the first Liberian cases of Ebola in March, Morris has had far fewer customers at his eye cafe. The outbreak of Ebola, which has spread from Guinea to neighboring Sierra Leone, Liberia, and most recently to Nigeria, has changed everything, he explains.
Ebola, to a large extent, has affected
our way of life, doing our regular day-to-day work. A lot of that has been interrupted and in some cases obstructed.
The biggest impact has been on businesses involving more personal contact than the eye cafe. Markets in Monrovia, for example, are now pretty much deserted. Air travel has also been affected, as Michel Balam of Askai Airlines explains from Guinea's capital, Conakry.
With regards to Ebola, which is a very dangerous epidemic, people are afraid to travel. In many cases, travel to various countries has slowed down. From the end of January to May of this year, we have had 4 months of very slow business.
The airline Emirates has halted flights to Guinea until further notice. On Tuesday, British Airways followed by suspending flights to Sierra Leone and Liberia. The stop to air travel will inevitably have an impact on trade, especially as the borders in Sierra Leone and Liberia are now closed to prevent the spread of Ebola. Nelson Agbagbeola, who works for the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, in Abuja, is sure that these measures will seriously affect the economy in West Africa.
It's a serious problem because there is a loss of productivity of workers. And now, with the closure of borders, attention is diverted from serious economic activities to this scourge, this fight against Ebola.
But action has also been taken to minimize damage to the economy in the region. Last month, West African states launched a solidarity fund to stop the spread of Ebola. This week, the World Bank has pledged $200 million to the affected countries to help them prop up their economies.
That report was written by Philip Santner. And now, for the next 10 minutes, we make way for the Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hey there, welcome back to Crossroads Generation, a radio drama about a group of African teenagers.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for today.
We're in the middle of the second season called Facing the Consequences. Before we start this 16th episode, let's look back quickly at where we left off. Trudy has moved in with a much older boyfriend, Manoti.
Here we go. Welcome to your new home, Trudy. Or should I say, Mrs. Manoti?
Nikki, Marcy and Dan are still suspended from school for various reasons. Nikki for drug abuse, Dan and Marcy because they slept together and Marcy is now pregnant. Dan couldn't go back to his home country, Liberia, because the situation after the civil war there is still very unstable, and he hasn't been able to reach his father either. What's next for Trudy, Mercy, Nikki and Dan? The start of this episode called Good News, Bad News finds Mercy at home in Tandika slums, washing the dishes.
It's open.
Hi, Mercy.
Nikki, what are you doing here?
May I come in?
Sure. The house is a bit of a mess. I was just cleaning up.
I haven't seen you since the day Principal Juliet suspended us. How are you?
Fine. And you?
Yeah, me too. I stopped drinking and smoking. You know, they've said I can go back to school again.
That's good.
And, how's it going with, you know?
It's okay. Nikki, what can I do for you?
My dad and I went to see Principal Juliet, and she gave us this letter for you.
Let me just dry my hands. Thanks.
I miss you, Mercy.
Nikki, you're making me very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. But I thought I should just be open with you and tell you how I feel.
Nikki, I really don't feel comfortable having this talk with you.
Yeah, okay. I have to go now anyway. Bye, Mercy.
Bye, Nikki. You're so dumb, Mercy. You should have chosen him instead of Dan. He's so sweet. And he really cares. I wonder what's in the principal's letter.
Oh, I'd never have thought that I, Dan Kanyama, would ever have to use a public phone again.
Ah, man.
Hello?
Hello? Dad? Dad?
Dan! How are you, my boy?
Oh, thank God! Dad!
How are you, my boy?
Where have you been? I haven't been able to reach you for months. And all Mom said was that you had to take care of the business.
Did you speak to her? Is she okay at her parents' place?
I think so, but you are the one who's married to her. You should know...
Listen, Dan. Don't tell your mother, but things have not been good here. I'm in hiding.
In hiding? Why? What happened?
Haven't you been following the news? The army has taken over the country, Dan. We've lost all our minds to the new government.
What? We lost everything?
Yes. Everything. The police are looking for me.
What? Why?
For financial crimes and child labor.
Dad, is that true? What did you do? I can't believe you do
it. Of course, it's not true, Dan. But I need to keep my head down for a while until it all blows over. Anyway, how's school?
Dad, I need to tell you something. Dad, I was suspended from school.
What? Why?
Some girl accused me of getting her pregnant. I didn't do it, I swear.
What the hell is wrong with you, Dan? I waste my money sending you to an expensive school. The idea is for you to study, not to get girls pregnant.
Dad, I swear, it wasn't me.
Don't lie to me. Where have you been living? What have you been eating?
My friend Biko's been putting me up in his room and sneaking food from the school canteen for me. But now he's had enough and told me to go away.
Dan, I know we Kanyamas are proud people, but these are desperate times. Go to your uncle's place in Kisimba and stay there until I've sorted things out over here. Do you hear me?
But Dad...
Dan... Just for once, will you do as I say? I have to go now. Goodbye.
Dad, wait. Come on. Damn. Thanks a lot, Dad. I guess I don't have any choice.
Show it if you're happy and you know it. Stamp your feet.
Mercy and Kadu, what's going on?
Mercy got a letter from Principal Juliet. She's going back to school.
What?
Kadu, really? You just can't keep a secret, huh?
I'm going out to play. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy.
What happened?
Principal Juliet wrote me a letter. The board of directors has agreed that I can go back. On certain conditions, though.
Oh, my daughter. That's wonderful news.
Yes, isn't it? But what about you? Have you been to the police station again? What are you doing there all the time?
Maybe it's time I told you the truth. It's about your sister.
But I don't have a sister, Mom.
Remember when I gave birth months ago?
Yes, and the little baby died.
No, she didn't. She's still alive, and I'm fighting to get her back. Your father sold her.
Oh, dear.
Pretty Trudy, aren't you coming to bed?
Manoti, just let me finish my homework. I'll be there soon.
Gosh. Can't you just go to sleep and leave me alone?
Oh, you ignoring me, you pretty thing.
Please, Manoti, I need to finish my homework.
No chance.
Put me down.
No chance. It's time to sleep.
Okay.
Come here, Trudy, you lovely thing. Give me a kiss. Mwah. Come on, let's go to bed.
Manoti, wait. I think we should use protection. I don't want to end up pregnant like my friend Mercy.
Come on, Trudy. We are living together. That means we're just like husband and wife. We don't need those stupid things.
Manoti, please. We've talked about this before. How many times do we have to argue about it?
As often as it takes for you to understand that you're now my wife. And as my wife, you should obey me. Come here. Come here.
Oh, you're hurting me. Let go of my arm.
Come here, Trudy.
Ouch.
I'm tired of this charade. Move.
Ow. Are you hurting me? No, I don't want to sleep with you now. Let's go. Ouch. Please, you're hurting me. No. Ouch.
What started out as a little fun has suddenly turned into a nightmare for Trudy. She's been raped by her boyfriend, someone she lives with and trusts. That trust has now been brutally destroyed by him refusing to accept her saying no. Meanwhile, things are finally starting to look better for Mercy. Don't forget to tune in next time to find out where the story takes us. If you'd like to listen to this or any other episode again, just go to our website at dw.de/LBE. You can also follow us on Facebook. Take care.
And before we leave you here on Africa Link, a brief look at our main stories. At the murder trial of Oscar Pistorius, the prosecution have been delivering their closing arguments. We've also been hearing reaction from Africa to the US Africa Summit in Washington and looking at the economic cost of the Ebola outbreak. If you'd like to contact us here at Africa Link, you can send a text message to country code 49 160957595. And email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. Crispin Machideo will be here tomorrow. Do join him if you can. Until the next time, this is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.